It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As a Christian, I wonder if you've ever really stopped to consider the love of God. And I know that if you've been saved, that you've experienced the love of God. But in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Of course, he, spoken of here, is Jesus Christ. God loves us so much. He gave his life for us that we could be known that we are the sons of God. Right now, we don't have to wait. We are the sons of God right now. Today on It's a Good Life, we continue our study in the life of Christ. And this would be study number 4. Well, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that he was, who do men say that I am, he said. Men have had all kinds of different ideas about who Jesus really is. In the days when our Lord walked this earth, there were people who thought that Jesus was John the Baptist. Others thought he was Elijah. Others thought he was Jeremiah. And still others thought he was one of the prophets. In Matthew 16:13-14, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of God, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." Well, his enemies said that he was a madman who was possessed by a devil, according to John 10:20. It says in verse 19, "There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings," of what Jesus was saying. Verse 20 says, "And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Jesus has always had enemies. And if you're saved today, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you know that you can be persecuted. And there's people in the church today, I'm talking about his church, there's people who are serving God who are being persecuted daily. And there's people actually giving their lives for our Lord today. And we don't see that yet in our country. I pray that we don't. But we need to stay close to the cross, stay close to Jesus, and pray that one day we'll see a great revival sweep our nation. Some accused him, that's Jesus, of performing his miracles by the power of Satan. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 22-26, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Mark 3:32 says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." These men were lost. And there's people today who refuse to receive Jesus as Savior. They would rather have Satan as their God. We also see that some called him a Samaritan, which to the Jews was a most hateful and insulting term. And in John 8:48 it says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" They insulted Jesus constantly. And some thought he was a mere man who claimed to be equal with God, and therefore a man who was worthy of death, according to John 10:30-33. And John 19:7 says, "The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die,
Because he made himself the Son of God. Well, why would he do that? Because he is the Son of God. He is the very God of himself. He is very God himself. And these people refused to believe that. People today have many different ideas about who Jesus really was and is. Some say he was a great teacher, and they say that today, that he was only a teacher. Others believe that he was a famous prophet. Some might even say that Jesus was the most righteous and perfect man who ever lived, but they believe he was only a man. How can people say that he was a great teacher when he taught about himself and they don't believe what he taught about himself? How can they say he was a great teacher if they don't believe what he taught? Nothing is more important than a person's concept of who Jesus really is. If I truly believe Jesus Christ is Almighty God, then I will bow down before him, love and adore him, as the song says. If I really believe he is Lord, then I'll serve and obey him. If I believe he is a liar, then I'll never trust him. If I believe he's a madman, then I'll never come to him. If he was only a good teacher, then I'll consider what he says, but I'll also read and believe what other good teachers say. If he was only a prophet, then I will be looking for other prophets to show me the way to God. If he were a mere man who died 2,000 years ago, then he is still dead, with no power to change my life today. But I got news for you. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave, and he's alive forevermore. He's with the Father in heaven. He's there to make intercession for us. He's there to remind us that if we call upon his name, he'll save us. Thank God I did that one day, and I'm praying that you did the same. But if you didn't, you need to ask him to come into your heart right now. Well, who does Jesus say he is? In Mark chapter 14, verses 61 and 62, it says, "But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am." And if you'll study this, you'll find that he was saying he's God here. I am. And that's referring to the great I am. And he goes on to say, "And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Every eye shall behold him," the Bible says. And that's not the rapture of the church. That's when he comes back for judgment to judge this world. He's sitting right now at the right hand of power to make intercession for the saints. Jesus, in many ways, seemed to be like any other man of his day. His physical appearance was not unusual, and he certainly resembled other Jewish men who then lived in Palestine. He did not have a glowing light or a halo around his head, as some paintings suggest, nor did he have the long flowing hair, the locks that made him look different from his disciples and the other men of his day. Christ's earthly ministry started when he was about 30 years old. He was not an effeminate person. He was a man among men whose voice thundered out and told people they, as John told them, they must repent and come to the Savior. Of course, he is the Savior. The Bible tells us in Luke 3:23, "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli," or Heli, however you want to pronounce that name. Jesus was a man among men. And I want you to notice something here. It says here, "as was supposed the son of Joseph." He had no earthly father. He was adopted by Joseph. His heavenly father sent him. The father gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Well, let us consider some of the claims of Jesus. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, God's anointed king. And the Jews who knew their Old Testament scriptures would have understood that he was the promised Messiah had they studied the scriptures. But there are like so many today who do not study the scriptures. They are, I'm speaking even of saved people who do not study the scriptures. They don't recognize spiritual things because the spiritual things that we need to know are contained, are found in the Word of God. If you want to be a giant for God, if you want to be someone who is not so much uplifted by man, but uplifted by God, then you'll get into the scriptures. And remember, we studied in one of our studies that Jesus was a man of prayer. You'll be praying and you'll be asking God for guidance. When a man claimed to be the Messiah, it was as if he were saying, "I want you all to know that I am God's promised king, the one who is the eternal, and mighty Jehovah God, who shall reign forever and ever. That's quite a claim. Jesus claimed that. He could claim that because He is the Messiah. When Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, "I am He," He was claiming to be the Messiah. John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. And when the man who was born blind asked Jesus, "Who is the Son of God?" Jesus said, "Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee." Jesus was saying, "I am the Son of God." John chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus told the Jews He was the Son of God in John chapter 10 and verse 36. Jesus told the high priest He was the Son of God in Mark chapter 14, verse 61 through 62. Note this. Jesus did not usually refer to Himself as the Messiah or as the Son of God, though on certain occasions He certainly claimed to be such. The title that He most frequently applied to Himself was the Son of Man. The significance of this term is seen in the fact that Daniel used it to describe the Messiah who would appear to establish an everlasting kingdom. And in his trial, Jesus referred to this very passage. You read that in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64. Jesus claimed to be able to forgive sins. Jesus, the only person who can really forgive us, is the person we have offended and sinned against. God is the only one who can forgive sin. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." We've offended a mighty God, the Almighty God, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And it goes on to say that one man, Jesus Christ, God's Son, He is the only one that can deliver us from this body of death. It's Jesus Christ who can deliver you today if you'll trust Him. Well, since only God can forgive sin, then Christ must be God. The Old Testament and New Testament point to Jesus as God. In Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd." According to Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14, He is the good shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." In the Old Testament, the Bible says, "The Lord God is the first and the last," in Isaiah 41, verse 4, 44, and 6. The New Testament points to Jesus, the Son of Man, as the first and the last, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, 17 through 18, chapter 2, and verse 8. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, "The Lord is my rock," Psalm 18, 2. And the New Testament says, "Christ was the rock," 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Ask Him to come into your heart. The life of Jesus, the life of Christ. And we're seeing this man. We've seen today that He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. Trust Him today as your Savior. And if you are saved, live for Him. Look at our website today for more help in studying the Word of God, lrwm.org.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.